The 55th chapter of Isaiah is a passage that contains these words that the prophet wrote. "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, says the Lord, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That is a truth that I think we are all very much aware of. The mind of God is far beyond anything that we can imagine. The vision that God has for life also exceeds our own. God's plans are far beyond what we can comprehend. We grasp a bit of them, but in our human ways, we often fail to grasp the wonder of it all and what God is doing. Fred Craddock was a Methodist minister and a seminary professor, a New Testament professor, who was well known for his storytelling. And I always remember one story that he told. It was about his childhood. He was raised on a farm in Tennessee. And during the summer months, he and his father would go out behind the house in the evening up a small hill with grass on it. They would sit down and they would take in the wonder of the night sky. Imagine this rural setting with the wonder of the heavens, the stars standing out. And he said that one night his father said to him, "Fred, I want you to imagine as far as you can. Think hard. Think about all that you can imagine. Stretch your mind." Then he said, "Okay, you got that? I want you to put in a stake right there in your mind, in your imagination, right where the limit of that is. Now, I want you to think, what's on the other side of that stake?" And Fred said, "Well, I guess there's a lot of something there." His father says, "Yeah, I think you're going to have to move your stake." I think that's a profound teaching. In life, you and I need to know when we need to move our stake. As I think of these two passages today, that's what stands out to me. This passage from the Old Testament, this primitive story about God working with his people, the intention of God is clearly stated a bit earlier at the beginning of this section. And it is a repetition of something that we find in the very first chapter of Genesis. When God finishes the creation of human beings, he says to them, "Go, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it." This is what you are called to do, you see. And here the instructions to Noah and his sons and their families is, "Go, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the whole earth." And there are about seven verses of instruction, and then it's repeated at the end of that section, "Fill the earth, multiply." This is the calling of God. Then what happens? They begin to migrate, and they come upon a nice place. It's a plain. It's a flat place. It's a place where you can build something. And they begin to say to each other, "Let's build something here. Let's build a city with walls and a tower stretching up into the heavens. We'll all be together here, all of us, in one comfortable place. And therefore, they say, note, therefore, otherwise, we will be scattered abroad on the face of all the earth. Well, isn't that what God told them to do? Go and multiply, be scattered across the face of all the earth. But you know, it's dangerous out there. You don't know what you're going to find. What will happen if we get thinned out that way? We're on our own. Who's going to look after us? Who's going to have our backs? God says, I don't think this is going to work. And as the story goes, that's the confusion of language. And so they are scattered abroad on the face of the earth. They need to move their stake in order to catch up with God. Trust what God is calling them to do and who God is calling them to be. That's the message of this primitive story. It's also, I think, in a sense, the message of the story of Pentecost. It's not stated there, but I think that's what you have. Think of these early followers of Jesus, those that will be the apostles. Christ has appeared to them and called them to a new life. They've experienced this resurrected Lord. And the last thing that Jesus says to the disciples, according to Luke, before he departs from them, is that they are to return to Jerusalem and wait there for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And the question I would ask you is, why do you think Jesus told them to do that? Be cool for a while. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. You know, I think it may have been because God understands human nature. And because the tendency of these followers of Jesus, their response to the resurrection might have been, things are wonderful, what a great thing that has happened to the children of Israel. This is what we've been hoping for, you know, the return of the reign of David, the good times. God's come in Jesus Christ, and he's raised him from the dead. This is wonderful for us. We can lift our heads high. We'll be a wonderful nation in the face of the earth. People will respect us. We'll be safe, maybe. We can be comfortable right here sharing the good news with our friends and neighbors and family, those who are like us, you know, our people. That may be an exaggeration, but that's human nature. That's what we tend to do. That's why the folks back in Genesis wanted to stay where they're safe. Don't spread us out. Be where we understand things, where we're comfortable with things, where we're with people like us. But of course, Pentecost wasn't that way, was it? God, in no uncertain terms, declares what they are to be, what this church is to be, and where the Spirit's going to be leading them. There's wind and there's fire in this story. They're typical examples we find from the Old Testament of the presence of God, you know, the children of Israel led by fire by night and a cloud by day. And there's the rushing of the wind, the burning bush, all this stuff. But the thing that is unique is that the word of God comes upon them and they begin to speak in other languages. This isn't speaking in tongues like some Pentecostal would do today or whatever. This is speaking in other languages. And lo and behold, all of the people of that are gathered there can understand them sharing the good news in their own language. In the last days, the Spirit will come upon you, upon all flesh, men and women, slaves, everybody, no distinctions. The Spirit of God comes on everyone. And this is a clear statement that the Word of God, the gift of God, is for everybody. Nobody is excluded. It's the power of the Spirit. What does that mean to us today? You know, Presbyterians get a little uncomfortable when you start to talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, we tend to be mind people. Let's be logical, think things out. Let's figure those things out. Let's study the Bible and do all that stuff. The Spirit is something, maybe we'll get emotional or something, you know. We couldn't dare do that. And yet, the Holy Spirit has always been a part of the church. It is the strength of the church. It's what has given us the church. The Spirit empowered people to pass on the faith to the whole world. And so, you know, billions, literally billions of people have come to know the faith through the power of that witness of God's Spirit moving people, stirring them up. In the New Testament, there's several different pictures of the Holy Spirit. We see the Holy Spirit in different modes. In the Gospel of John, John calls it the Paraclete, which is a transliteration of the Greek word paraclete. And it means literally someone who comes alongside. In other words, the Holy Spirit, Jesus tells his disciples, is the one who is going to come along with you. And he is present with you as an advocate or a comforter, as a teacher, to remind you of the things that Jesus said, as a guide, all of these things, this one who is with you to accompany you in your faith, in your life. Now, what we find in the book of Acts is that, but it also is one who stirs the pot. The Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is the one who's changing plans and leading people in ways that they don't expect, to do things that they never imagined, and empowering them in new ways, in creative ways. This is the Holy Spirit. What's that mean for us today? I think it means that you and I have to always be thinking of how we need to move our stake. Never just become comfortable with where you are in your faith. God is calling you into the future. God is calling you to grow, to be empowered by God's Spirit, to be led in new ways. God is with you as comforter and friend and all of those good things, but God is also the one who is prodding you when you need to be prodded, to move in new directions. I think that's true for every one of us. That continues through our whole lives. That's how the Spirit is moving in our life. If we're open to the leading of God, Who knows what God might be doing next? And it is certainly true of the church. And churches are made up of human beings, and our human tendency is to, let's enjoy what we have. Let's be who we are. Let's gather in places with people like us who have a background similar to us or whatever it might be. I mean, this is always a human tendency. That's human nature. And God is saying to us through the Holy Spirit, no, you've got to learn new languages, because there's people out there that need to hear. There's people that pass through your gates, your doors, into relationship with you every day, that you need to be open to and to begin to wonder, how is God touching this person's life? What might God want me to say or to do or to care about for this person, to make life better for them, to enable that kingdom of God to come and be present in there? That's the calling of God. What are the new languages that we need to learn? Do we need to, maybe for us, learn the language of a more contemporary service at some occasion? We don't need to change this one. We're comfortable like this, you know, we like those things, but maybe it could use some tweaks sometimes here and now. But God is bigger than all that. I don't know what the answers are, but you see, the Holy Spirit does. God, moving in the midst of all of us, knows what needs to happen, where we need to go. See, we need to stop being Presbyterian and think that we got to come up with all the answers and have all the solutions. We need to do that, work at that. But you know, we're not alone. The Holy Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit is empowering us. The Holy Spirit is present right now. We need to learn new languages, new ways. Be bold, not be afraid, because our Lord is with us. And the Lord will lead us in whatever way is appropriate, whatever ways, I should say, because it's many ways, many different ministries, many different opportunities to engage one another in this adventure of trying to catch on to the coattails of the living God and be carried where God wants us to go. That's the gift of life. That is the promise of God. I will never leave you or forsake you. Follow me. Move your stake. Open your heart and your mind, both of them, to what God is calling you to do and to be. Amen.